Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Cider and Hennessy, eggnog, whatever you need, we're getting close. The countdown is on. It is Christmas week in this thing. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke, it's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Jhené, we've obviously got a lot of great sports to get to here. Everyone's mad online about the college football playoff, thanks to Spencer Hall from the SEC Network that just joined us and talked about a system that is not working for anyone in all of this. But as we stare down a system we all know well, Jhené, looking towards the holidays this week, because it's a great week. It's nice to see in this year, what's been a tough year for so many people, genuine joy around Christmas right now. I'd imagine even for you, Jhené, in Los Angeles, where you don't have a foot of snow on the ground like we do, it's still a good time of year. It's still good feelings in the air, right?
Yes, there are great vibes. You know, I walk across the street, we have our lights and everything. And then this weekend, I went to a safe location. I don't know if you saw my IG stories. You can follow me at Jhené, at Mike Golic Jr., or you can tweet us anytime you want on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. I was at the beach, so like our Christmas just looked a little different out here.
I love Jhené plugging the IG on air right now. Get it how you live, sis.
That's both of us, okay?
Listen, fair enough. Mine does not have any beach shots in it, but it does have questions. And the question I want to ask all of you guys right now as we get towards Christmas, because I firmly believe when it comes to a holiday like Thanksgiving, the day is far superior to the night before, where everyone goes out when they're back home, they get drunk with all their friends, you see everyone from high school. As I've told you, you don't hook up with your ex when that happens.
I firmly,
no comment at this time. I firmly believe going towards Christmas, it's the exact opposite. Christmas Eve, far superior to Christmas Day.
100%. Your girl, Catholic. And so, you know, we'd always have mass, and mass was just a little stressful getting there because everybody wants to be, you know, a part of the religion on that day, right? Like specifically people come in town and show up on that day. And so, you know, it was a little bit more stressful because you have to wake up and like to get to the comfortable mass where there's not that many people. It's like 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m., 6 a.m. And so we just started opening our presents on Christmas Eve. And so we'd open our presents, play with them on Christmas Eve, and then be ready to go on Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve has always been better for our family.
Exactly. Because Jhené, it's also about the anticipation part of it, right? Like, forget even as an adult right now, where Christmas Eve, normally having a great party with friends of ours down the street, you play White Elephant, everyone has a few sips, it's a good night for everyone involved. You get to eat, it's kind of like Thanksgiving, you get a bonus ham usually in this situation. But think about when you're a kid, Jhené, the best part about Christmas is that night before. You can't wait to get to bed because the big man's coming and trying to make it rain here down the chimney. It's all of that anticipation that I think makes Christmas Eve far superior to Christmas Day.
And you know who had butterflies the night before finally back in action?
Who did it, Jhené?
Drew Brees, baby!
I hate you so much. Drew Brees, back in action this weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Saints squared off in a very important football game this weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs get the win, Jhené, in this one. But as we watched this weekend, I was eating breakfast with the TV on silent because I was on a phone call, and I look up and I see Diana Russini beating her producer, wearing a flak jacket in the ribs with a baseball bat. That is the kind of environment Drew Brees was walking into this football game in, Jhené. And yet I thought Drew Brees performed in a way for me that if I'm a Saints fan, I am someone who is very pleased about the direction of our team, because you ended up getting to a 3-point loss against a team without any of your main receiving weapons. We know Michael Thomas was out going into this one, and by the end of that game, Drew Brees was starting to make the Drew Brees plays, despite that he was wearing a flak jacket and healing up 11 broken ribs.
Yep, and I think one of those plays was to Emmanuel Sanders, like that deep bomb, I think it was like 50 yards that he threw, and we're like, oh snap, he might be getting back in his bag. And I think the number one concern everyone had was just like, okay, when he takes that hit, how will he respond, knowing that we need him 100%, not just for this game, for the entire playoffs? And I think he just at least showed that he's still competitive. While his numbers, his completion percentage was not as high as you'd like, that guy was still out there. And you could even see him when he was sort of slumped on the bench. Like, you know how when you see athletes that are locked in and like that moment matters to them? That was Drew Brees. And so I feel like that was a good look. But dang, you alluded to it. Like, obviously a 3-point loss for the Saints, but the Chiefs, they still roll. And I've been bringing this stat up because I will continue to do it, because the Chiefs, they can just win in so many different ways and they can make it look easy. 6 straight game, I believe. Let me search here. 6 consecutive week winning by 1 possession or fewer. And it feels like even in those circumstances, there's no sweat involved. And speaking of the different ways, because obviously they have weapons. They have Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, who are all having sensational seasons. The ability for the Chiefs to hold New Orleans to 1 of 11 on third downs, like them locking in, understanding that the reason why Drew Brees is out there is because they need that win so much so that they, the Chiefs at least, need to assert themselves as the top team and still walk out with the win, to me was equally impressive.
Chinua Achebe Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinua Achebe, and I would agree, Chine. I looked at this game, and of the things that I came away most impressed by, I think number one was Drew Brees' ability to respond with the ribs the way he did by the end of that game. Because you're right, he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks of all time. I'm not banking on 50% Drew Brees going forward. I think you had to knock off some semblance of rust. But right after that, it is the continued ease for Kansas City, because they weren't without issue in this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their starting running back, went down with an injury during this game, looking like he might be done for the regular season at this point. And they just roll Le'Veon Bell right in there in his place and continue to produce at that level. Patrick Mahomes continues to make it look easy against a secondary in the New Orleans Saints that absolutely gave them problems. Make no mistake, I understand the Kansas City Chiefs completed 50% of their third downs, but New Orleans bothered them on defense with that secondary. And I think you saw a lot of the traits of why this is a team that so many people are ready to contend with down the stretch of the NFC playoff season. Here was Drew Brees talking about getting back on the field this weekend.
Being able to throw the ball, you know, good enough. And obviously that was kind of a ramp up, you know, from call it last week, late last week into early this week and throughout practice. I still have a little ways to go. I'll be honest, you know, there's some things that you know, I'm still kind of working on, but it is what it is.
Are you 100%?
No, but I'm on my way.
To be clear, no one is 100%. Drew Brees wouldn't have been 100% even if he was not having 11 broken ribs in this situation. So, Chine, I think the Saints should feel pretty good about where they're at going down the stretch of the season, the way Drew Brees has looked. Because, again, the one seed is going to be difficult to come by now based on where Green Bay is situated this current time. They didn't look great in a win over Carolina on Saturday, but they got it. And so for Drew Brees, there's that. But I do have to ask, did you see during the course of that game, as the Chiefs continue to embarrass everyone with offensive football, Patrick Mahomes made a legendary play?
I was going to talk about Mecole Hardman.
No, not by, not
dang Mecole, it.
Not which play are you talking about?
I'm talking about the TD to Mecole Hardman that was in the corner in the back pylon, which was nuts, where he sort of rolled out and thread the needle, Patrick Mahomes to Mecole Hardman in the corner.
No. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about your friend, Travis Kelce, the tight end. Touchdown down by the goal line, where Patrick Mahomes gets out of his stance and does not throw the ball. No, any fans of the Dr. Pepper Halftime Challenge will tell you that Patrick Mahomes chest passed that ball Travis Kelce down on the goal line and made everyone eat their criticism as we watched a very different version of the Dr. Pepper Challenge that is near and dear to my heart this weekend. Chine, a professional NFL $500 million quarterback out here doing the same chest passing that is winning those kids tuition money every year. Everyone else can stick it.
It is wild. I saw that pass and I was like, hold up. Oh boy, like he hoop? Like what? I know Travis hoop, but like for the point guard, especially a quarterback to make that pass, that was crazy. So I saw that, but I think because it was a shorter one, that was like sort of secondary to me. And plus, because like Travis Kelce's a walking touchdown at this point. The Mecole Hardman one that I was talking about, I was looking at Next Gen Stats and it was the one where he threw it in the back corner of the end zone. And Patrick Mahomes was actually moving at 10 miles per hour somehow. And the distance that he had to cover was 0.9 yards in a nice little like circular range. And he was able to thread a needle for that touchdown, which was like through four people. I was just like, it must be nice.
I got to tell you, the marketing around Next Gen Stats too, because as soon as you said that, all I can think of was Christian McCaffrey walking me through this situation right now, narrating his dive into the end zone. So commercial marketing yet again works on my peanut brain. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs work yet again, but I'm telling you, this New Orleans Saints team, I would be confident coming off of what we saw this past weekend. As that team is built to get healthier, they want Michael Thomas to be ready to go for the playoffs, as the rest of that team should be right now. There is one goal with an aging quarterback, and it is hoisting that Lombardi. In college, there is one goal, and it is to host the championship in the playoff. How big a gripe does one team have who was shut out from that opportunity yesterday? We'll get to that next. Chinua Achebe Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinua Achebe Jr., the podcast.
Chinua Achebe Jr. here on ESPN Radio, kicking off your Christmas week the only way we know how. Very loud and sounding like Lil Jon We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penn's Oil Performance Line. And Chiney, folks can also tweet us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chiney, at Mike Golic Jr. And it is so fun coming in here this morning. You immediately remind me off the top of the show that I played in the national championship game in 2012 against Alabama. And lo and behold, as we look up at the college football playoffs final rankings, Alabama number one, Clemson number two, Ohio State number three, and Notre Dame number four. And you very delicately reminded me that I was a part of that game. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Oh, wow. Like, do we have the clip yet to run back? Because what I remember is you telling me to go to hell because I brought that up. But it's okay. You've cooled off.
You
it's
brought that up in a way that was meant to be mean and disparaging, which is just like this guy on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. I can't even pronounce his name, Popo Catapelli. I don't even know what it is, but he's tweeting us at Chiney, at Michael Jr., just like you should too. And he said, I missed the first hour. Have you owned this weekend and the fact that Notre Dame should not be in the playoff?
Oh.
Oh.
Answer yourself. Defend yourself.
Shaking in my boots right now. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Gas. I can't believe I owned this.
Sounds like the guy that still is in, even though they got blown out, you're still in the playoff. Like, you just sound like you're just chilling.
Yeah, you know what, Chiney? I can understand people being let's put it this way. I've always said this about Notre Dame. Notre Dame, whatever you think about it, invites you to think that times a thousand. If you hate something, you're going to hate Notre Dame times a thousand. If you love something, you're going to love Notre Dame times a thousand, because all the people that hate it want to point to the history. All the people that love it want to point to the history. And a lot of us that just want to go ahead and love this place would like to live in the now and judge this team off of 2020. I understand perception is going to play a part. We're human nature. But when you look at the 2020 Notre Dame football team and what they've accomplished, how they've looked and grown over the course of the season, yes, worst performance of the year by far on Saturday in the worst possible spot. But as I've said before, if you want to make the conference championship games play-in games, do it. I encourage you. We talked to Spencer Hall before from the SEC Network. The system ain't working for a lot of people, so it's going to need some changing, but it ain't changed right now. And so if that's not a play-in game and it's just another part of the sample size, then I see no issue with this Notre Dame team being in it for.
But you're talking about people that might be, a thousand times more mad, big mad about Notre Dame. I feel like at the top of that list probably is my state, the great state of Texas A&M. And so, well, I said state, it's Texas, the school. Pretty much we're all on the same vibe this week. But it's funny, you know, Texas A&M, after the rankings came out, I got a whole bunch of texts from my friends. And one of them was like, Chiney, you better ride hard for our state. And I understand why they're mad. I believe they're the first SEC team that's one loss that didn't make the college football playoff. Typically, you know, schools like Georgia are in that situation, they sort of get the head nod. But now you have two ACC teams. Mind you, the ACC team, this is your first year in Notre Dame being in the ACC. Like, you're getting the nod instead, where normally the SEC tends to get that, you know, deference. So how do you equate, you know, what Texas A&M fans, Aggie fans are feeling right now? I know you're Notre Dame, but understanding that, hey, big picture here, the eye test and the body of work serve Notre Dame instead of serving A&M in this situation.
Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chiney, to your point there, you're right. Jimbo Fisher said it after the game. The politicking immediately started this weekend after the games were over. Texas A&M got a win against Tennessee on conference championship weekend. And Jimbo said no one-loss SEC team has ever been left out of the college football playoff. On the other side, and I wish I could find the tweet now and give them credit, but someone said an incredible trivia question is going to be, Notre Dame, in their first year in the conference, becomes the only team in the CFP era to lose the conference championship game and still make the college football playoff. So it's insane all around on this one, Chiney. I understand Texas A&M gripe. I said going into this weekend, Notre Dame left themselves open to whatever outcome could have happened. I thought it was a coin flip between them and Texas A&M, because their resumes are basically the same. When you look at strength of resume, Notre Dame was 2, Texas A&M was 3. Game control was in a really similar spot in all of this one. Margin of victory favored Notre Dame in a lot of ways, but the SEC folks tell you it's because our conference is bigger and better than everybody else in this yada, yada, yada. The bottom line, Chiney, when it comes down to it, is they also got blown out by a top team in the country. Notre Dame got blown out by number 2. Texas A&M got blown out by number 1 in Alabama. They did it earlier in the season, which usually gets you some grace, usually gets you something. And this year, the committee decided, no, Notre Dame's other wins stood to make a difference. And so now, what is this dude doing going forward? Ross Bjork, who is the Texas A&M athletic director, was on Best Week Ever with Peter Burns this weekend on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio. And he talked about what he wants to see now.
I think looking at 8 is the right thing to do. So going from 4 to 8 is a logical step. Anything beyond that, I think just gets into other different territory, academics. You know, we do have finals. Mm-hmm. We have made it work in the virtual setting, but we're going to get back into classrooms. And so I think looking at eight is the right analysis. And I know that our league will look at that. I know as an athletic director in the Power Five, we want to look at that.
Chiney, while I appreciate him bringing up academics as if they're going to be any part of what governs this situation, because they're not, and we know that. But I look at this for so long, I've said, keep it at four. I think college football has the truest champion because we know the regular season matters so much. It's going to be such a strain to get through to that spot. You're going to get the best teams. But now everyone's gotten bored with greatness. Alabama and Clemson keep doing this. And so I understand why people don't want to see this. So I say, fine, expand it to eight, but acknowledge this is just for entertainment's sake. The best teams are still going to be the best teams. And as much as we want to see a lot of these other teams, a lot of the group of five represented in this conversation, those one, and we've heard plenty of people admit this, those 1-8 matchups, the 1-4 matchups are already usually a blowout. Notre Dame is the team that most people have pegged for that coming up right now. The 1-8 is not going to be any prettier, but the more and more I go along, people seem to covet more than anything in sports. And I'm curious for your opinion on this. Why you watch sports? Because it seems more people than I have ever thought possible watch for the prospect of the upset. A lot of us will watch to see greatness, watch to see who's the best coming out on top of the mountaintop. But the more and more we go along, college football seems to indicate we would just like the possibility of an upset present to us. Please and thank you.
I have three narratives that make me want to watch sports. It's the competition. I want two top teams competing and that coming down to the wire. Then I like the upset principle that you bring forth, like the Cinderella stories. And then I also like the narratives. And I feel like when it comes to college football, obviously you're serving this one master in the sense that it's money, where you want to put forth, you know, the product out there. We saw that being the reason why the game was moved from the Rose Bowl now to Texas, where we started this whole conversation, which is actually quite ironic. But, you know, for me, I just look at this whole prospect and I just wish in this year, I feel like most leagues, most sports are being a little bit more creative. And right now you have these narratives where you have a Cincy that's 9-0, you have a Coastal Carolina that's 11-0, and you have teams that are still awaiting and trying to find opponents. Like, this could have been the year where you said, hey, we understand everyone's challenged and we understand that everyone is going to try to put forth their best foot forward. Why not be a little bit more open-minded? But again, that's only going to happen if the hand is forced. And right now they've got their four teams, their four big markets, and that's what really will be the entertainment factor.
I think the anger of the group of five, I think the anger of the Pac-12 is going to force this sooner than later. I think money is going to force this sooner and later. What needs to change for me is some of that money needs to start finding its way into the players' hands, because more is going to be asked of them, like Ross Bjork, Texas A&M's athletic director, mentioned. And as that continues to become the case and continues to become the focus, it's going to need to start to create a different conversation about the way that we structure all of these things. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Reminder, the college football playoff semifinals and finals are on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Those matchups coming up to you January 1st. You can check them all out here at ESPN and ESPN Radio. Coming up next, though, we got another reminder of this week. The beginning of the end may be closer than we could have ever imagined for one NFL quarterback. We'll do that next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike, and as you guys just heard in that update from Christine Lisi, unfortunately some sad news being passed along about the passing of Hall of Famer Kevin Green, dead at the age of 58. And Chiney, it just devastating as you're seeing the tributes start to pour out online right now, people speaking of him. I saw Steve Weish over at the NFL Network mentioning that this is a guy who had been working with players currently in the league, trying to give back with the NFL legends and make the lives of younger players coming up better, in addition to the lives of so many people he was around and had influence on there. So just impossibly sad, and 58, impossibly young.
Yeah, and his presence that you've seen on the field, just from his persona and his hair to off the field, obviously, that you just mentioned, have been remarkable. And I'm seeing 15 years in the NFL, 160 sacks, third highest total there, you know, in the league. What he was able to do with the game, both on and off, has been truly remarkable.
It has been. And so not a lot of information at this time. The 2016 Hall of Fame inductee, but certainly want to pass along our condolences, thoughts to everyone, Kevin Green's family, the people that knew him most, who are obviously hurting right now at the loss of an all-time legend and an all-time great. And so we certainly wish them all well. No easy transition back into the world of sports, but it is what we do in these instances right now as we pass that along here. And we go back to the things that happened in the world of sports this weekend, Chinee. And we had so much go on. We had college football, as we mentioned, this weekend come up. We had NFL football on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, the two games that were played that day. And maybe no game more impactful this weekend towards the future of this league, because certainly plenty affecting the present, the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe not one of them, but the performance of Jalen Hurts yet again in a loss to the Cardinals, but a close one and a hard-fought one where he looked exceptional during a lot of that game. I think it has a lot of people saying, all right, this might not just be a look-see at what you have. This might be an answer of what your future is going to be.
Yeah, and watching him perform, I mean, going toe-to-toe, and I did say, I forgot how I phrased it, but just like the two quarterbacks in this one, we've got Kyler Murray on the move, you've got Jalen Hurts on the move, young players, both under 25 or so years old, and for them to just go out there and lead their teams, even though one loss, the loss, though, goes a long way, because he's just able to inspire his team in a way that we hadn't seen so far this season. And Jalen Hurts, I remember hearing afterward that he said, you know, like, I going 300 yards and providing a lot offensively, like, that's not what I care about, because those 300 yards didn't amount in a win. So basically you're getting a good taste, if you're Philly, of this option. And this option looks like a nice solution, not just for the season, but even moving forward, which makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and one by the name of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and Chinee, I think that's going to be what comes up a lot here going into the weekend. We heard the report from Adam Schefter that Carson Wentz was not pleased with the events of the last couple of weeks, and that he wouldn't, if he's going to be the backup, that's not what he desires, and he would want to go somewhere else at his point in his career. And at first I kind of wanted to be sarcastic about that, because it's a very quarterback thing to be able to push for in there. Every other position deals with people coming for their jobs almost every year, and Carson Wentz now suffers a lot of that same ill as someone who believes, and I think it's because of the scars of his time there, that he's wronged in some way by that second round draft pick being taken after they give him that contract, because of everything that happened with Nick Foles. But Chinee, that's competition at the highest level. You know all too well how that goes in the WNBA, where you are still a professional. But I look at this now and say, I don't know if it's a full page turn yet, because the money is going to probably keep Carson Wentz on this team unless you can find a trade partner desperate enough to go out here and make this move. And teams are going to get film on Jalen Hurts. And we see this happen all the time going into someone's second year, where a rookie all of a sudden now has people scouting him as aggressively as he's been looking at the rest of the league. But at the very least, he's starting to look less and less like, all right, it was a spark in a game against the Saints team that wasn't ready, and more of, all right, we may have to really contend with this. And if we do, Carson Wentz might be someone that is ready to go and find a new home that might help everyone involved.
But, like, this is where the trouble resides. Sorry, I want to say where the money resides, because that comes up in my head from this past week, where literally that is the answer. Where the money resides, it resides with Carson Wentz. And so that's their obligation to him. And even just knowing his past and what he's had to deal with, you still are indebted. I feel like Philly still has love, even though he this year, maybe it's just a little bit more, like, platonic. But that's what I'm confused about, Junior, because if he wants to leave, he doesn't want to be a backup, but they're tied to him with money, what situation do they find themselves winning? Because if Jalen is competing and doing well, Carson Wentz is not doing that, but you hold on to Carson Wentz and his contract where the money resides, how are you supposed to figure out this in the locker room? And this is basically the question that Dan Orlovsky was saying, look, if things keep going in this direction where Jalen keeps performing and Carson says he doesn't want to be a back, how are you supposed to find a way forward with both of them?
Yeah, and Chinee, I think this is the interesting part, because I know Dan said that he thinks everyone would benefit from fresh start in this, but what I would say is also, if that's out of his control, Philly still wins in this instance if Jalen Hurts comes in and is the better player. Like, that's a win if all of a sudden your second round pick becomes your starter in this situation, or you get out of this and say, all right, what if Carson Wentz takes this moment, internalizes it, and comes back a better player as you have him on the other side in all this one. I think we talk about this a lot, the division in the locker room, like especially with Philadelphia, a team that has dealt with so many injuries and has guys on that roster. You think of the Boston Scots of the world, what we've seen from Greg Ward, like players that came to be because of circumstance, that were practice squad guys that never should have been named. you're always like, I was a back end of the roster guy just trying to make teams. Like, you don't have time to worry about all this high level stuff. Like, these are the things Carson Wentz gets to worry about because he's got a $100 million contract strapped to his back. Everybody else is just trying to make sure they do enough to get rehired next year. So I this lose the locker room stuff with a lot of this. I look at it and say most often it's, all right, are we winning? Jason Kelce, their starting center, got up and said, this is a league about wins and losses. It's not getting a look at guys. It's who gives us a chance to win here and now. And so if there ends up being a competition, so be it. And if Carson Wentz is truly as bought into all these things being a slight and it affects the way that he performs, then it's no one's fault but Carson Wentz's in that situation.
And I guess the way I can simplify this entire argument is through, which I've, you know, pretty much made all my arguments this season, my fantasy team. With Carson Wentz, I had Greg Ward on the bench, and then he had two TDs, and I started looking at myself like, hold up, is Jalen Hurts really the answer? Because clearly this guy is pretty good when he's playing with Jalen versus when he's playing with Carson. So I was just like, that is the spark right there that everyone's talking about.
It is the spark everyone's talking about there. It's the spark that has been non-existent on your fantasy team for most of this year.
Even though I won my playoff, yes.
And you and we are proud of you.
Seventh plays.
We are proud of you for that, all right? Very much want to make that clear. All right. Coming up next, I want to look at one other team because we've talked about the Eagles a lot, and they're not a team that we think is going to factor into the playoffs down the stretch of the season. But coming up next, one playoff team, whatever you think about them is true. What the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have in common with a Christmas movie that everybody loves and hates. We'll do that next. Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Oh, is it Die Hard?
Chin Angle Jr., the podcast.
Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chin Angle McCabe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penzoil Performance Line. In about 10 minutes, the one team we haven't mentioned today in the college football playoff discussion is Ohio State. A lot of people already getting their shots in on the now third-ranked Buckeyes. We'll get to plenty of that, but Chin Angle, we're talking about Christmas movies during the break. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie or one that maybe you've seen most recently?
I do. First, I'd like to tell Cliff that I can do the Crybaby. That's the song he was playing. And two, it'd have to be The Grinch. It'd have to be The Grinch with Jim Carrey. That version is probably my favorite.
I respect that. I have a friend whose son loves that movie so much that he tells people he doesn't want anything for Christmas. He's going to steal Christmas. He says that to adults in a way that terrifies me and makes me proud at the same time. Love you, Will. But looking at all of this, Chin Angle, there's another Christmas movie that I always think gets brought up and is interesting. Until last year, I had never seen Love Actually.
Wow.
And I watched that last night.
It's
Ooh.
So, do you guys like Love Actually?
In spite of myself, yes.
That's the perfect answer. Cam was working on the show with us today. That is the perfect answer because I watched Love Actually for the first time last year, Chin Angle, and I said, whatever you think about Love Actually is true. No matter what your opinion about that movie, it is good enough while being bad enough to be true all at once. Love Actually is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of movies. Because this 2020 Tampa Bay Bucs team, whatever you want to believe about them, Chin Angle, can be true this year.
I feel like they're more diehard just because they go hard some nights and it works and they live. They have all the life and then they go hard some nights and it just doesn't work out. It's like Die Hard.
You just wanted to bring up the Die Hard as a Christmas movie, Christmas debate, didn't you?
Pretty much.
Again, Chin Angle truly indoctrinating herself into sports talk radio for the first time this year, wholly and truly diving into the debate that defines the medium. So I'm proud of you, Chin Angle. I will give you the platform. Is it a Christmas movie?
I don't know, honestly. I'm just here for the anarchy. I'm trying to do my best you impression. And by the way, we were together way before this show. Like, that's when we made our, like, best situations. We used to work holidays together. You don't remember?
I do remember, but I'm saying for the first time fully and truly here. Obviously, we have been holiday all-stars around here at the Worldwide Leader.
Yes, we have.
For a while now. And we will continue to be. But for the Love Actually of Christmas movies that exist on the football field and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I thought this was interesting. Bruce Arians has been very vocal this season, telling people, criticizing Tom Brady, then telling people, I don't know why you're criticizing Tom Brady so much. Well, this weekend they were down 17-0 to the bleeping Falcons, which I didn't realize was a thing that this team was going to try to add to its bag. But here we are. And so this is Bruce Arians talking about what he expects going forward from this team What's they can get the first half or are they going to get the second half? Here's Bruce.
First halves of ball games, if it's 50-50, I love where we're at. The sense of urgency in the locker room at halftime, it was a very calm. It was very calm by him. Yeah. It's just, let's go make a play. We got the ball. Let's go make a play. And we go down and score. So it it lit a fire in the offense. Defensively, I was really disappointed when they answered that with another touchdown. But I think our defense needs to reevaluate themselves a little bit and get back to what we're supposed to be doing and what we're capable of doing.
Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio Tampa Bay, currently sitting at the sixth seed right now at 9-5. And Janae, that defense was the story of the NFL after they waxed the Green Bay Packers. Packers. I was forgetting if it was the Packers or the Saints. Waxed the Green Bay Packers. And since then, it's been a little less of that dominance. Do you trust the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into this postseason?
I don't, unfortunately. But the thing is, I feel like what they do command is respect. And I've said this before. Sometimes we see them and they look truly like a team. They're connecting on all cylinders like we saw a long time ago with the Packers. But then you get situations where they're stumbling and faltering in the first half versus the Falcons, where they look more like a collection of names instead of teams. And what sort of highlighted this was Antonio Brown getting his first touchdown in this uniform with Tom Brady at quarterback. You saw him fall to his knees, his hands were up, you saw Tom give him a hug because these guys have a unique relationship and they both are one of the legends of the game still playing. And you see like the fight for chemistry amongst individual parts on this team. But then it seems like that same fight might be contrary to what their communication styles are with their coach. Like the coach getting in front and saying, well, I don't know why we weren't able to do that. Well, technically, you're supposed to be the reason why. Now, granted, Coach Arians is in a very unique position where he can actually say things to the media. And I feel like because this is a collection of names that command a lot of respect, like Tom Brady and Mike Evans or Rob Gronkowski and the rest of them, they feel like, all right, we're pros. Coach is just talking his talk and we'll still show up and do our job. But something is off, when it comes to back-to-back consecutive weeks where we see that growth just amount in some kind of trajectory that we feel better, more trusting in.
Yeah, Janae, I we've talked about this, and we had a debate about the NFC team outside of the division leaders that we trust, and I thought it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but looking at this team, really looking at them, looking at the Arizona Cardinals, who sit at the seventh seed right now, these are Jekyll and Hyde teams that look very much like their lot in life at this point in time. And so if you're looking at this, I think it's about expectation, right? The Washington football team sitting at the four seed right now because they're the first place team in the NFC East. They're going to win that division more than likely in this situation down the stretch. There were no expectations there. For a coach in his first year with quarterbacks that were changing underneath him right now, they're back to Dwayne Haskins, versus what we expected from Tampa Bay relative to this situation. Maybe we're finding that reality was always going to exist somewhere in between, but that doesn't help you when you got an old quarterback and the clock is ticking, Chinee. So that becomes the difficulty for Tampa Bay now, who again, Love Actually, whatever you want to believe about this team can be true going forward because we've seen all of it and we've seen it at a high level. Now, 30 for 30 podcast present March 11th, 2020, a standalone audio documentary that tells the story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans, as told by those who lived the events of that day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci. March 11th, 2020 will tell the story of the day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe now and listen wherever you get your podcast. So be sure to tune into that as we get ready to tip off another NBA season, which feels wild to say because we just finished the last one. And I feel like LeBron and them should still be allowed to party somewhere in that instance. But now virtually, they're in training camp. And so they won't be virtually partying anymore. They will be very much playing on the court, at least in theory, LeBron.
Very true.
One of the rest all-stars coming up in this. But we got to try and finish out a college football season right now. What to do with the Ohio State problem, and is what happened with the Buckeyes the biggest argument for expansion yet? Janae Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Golick Jr., the podcast.